Well, welcome. My name is Pastor Jeremy. Happy Mother's Day. We are in the midst of a series called The Gospel is Greater. And we're going through the book of Galatians, and we're talking about how God's truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is bigger, better always than the alternatives that are presented to us in our society. I've been really excited about this sermon series, and I'm really excited about the next one that we have to come to. We're going to call it Storytellers. And stories are incredibly powerful, and they have great influence over us. And our lives are stories. And we're all looking forward to what's next in our own story, the story of our own lives. And the power of story is such that when we hear a story of someone else, whether it's through a movie or through someone telling us what's going on in their life, when we hear someone else's story, at the same time, we're looking for what's next in our story. And if we can relate to what they're saying, then we can wonder if their story is a part of our story. And the power of their story can actually cause us to direct and redirect our lives, to incorporate their story into our lives. That's the power of story. They shape and alter our lives. And so the question is, what stories are we listening to? What stories are we taking in? And what stories are we allowing to become part of ours? And so we're going to go back through the book of Luke, and we're going to be reading the stories that Jesus told, the parables. And we're going to be letting God's stories affect and alter our lives and our story. And so that'll be starting this June, coming this summer, so the Storyteller series. Today we're going to continue on with The Gospel is Greater. We'll be talking today about how the gospel of Jesus Christ is greater than just simply being a good person. We'll be reading from the book of Galatians. If you have a Bible, I'd encourage you to open it up and turn with me there. I'll also have the verses on the screen. If you don't have a Bible, we have Bibles back at the Bible table. Feel free to stand up and grab one. Or if you have a smartphone, you can always download the Bible app. So the gospel of Jesus Christ is that for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And the Church of Jesus Christ has been preaching this message all over the world, all throughout the world, all throughout the last 2,000 years. That for God so loved the world that he gave his Son, that whoever believes will not perish but have eternal life. And God doesn't love all the things that go down in this world. He doesn't love the way that we oftentimes hurt ourselves and hurt others, the ungodly choices that we make that we know to be wrong. He doesn't love those, but we've got a God who loves the world. And he loves the world so much that he gave his Son Jesus so that we might be saved, so that we might have eternal life. And the good news is that Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way for us to get to God. He is the truth, and he's the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. And this is good news because we have a way that we can trust. We've got a way to God that we can trust in. So the Church of Jesus Christ has been preaching this message all throughout the world, all throughout the last 2,000 years. The gospel of Jesus Christ is that the way for us to God is through Jesus. There's a competing gospel going on in our society today. And it's been actually a few months since I've heard this. Last fall, let me tell you, last time I ran into this gospel, I was hanging out with some friends. I'd made some friends who were vehemently opposed to the gospel, vehemently opposed to the church. And we got together and we were hanging out and having fun, and we get together and watch football every Sunday. And so we were getting to know each other and learning about each other's lives, and they knew I was going to school. And so they said, "What are you going to school for?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to school to be a pastor." And suddenly everybody gets curious. When I say that I'm a pastor or was going to school to be a pastor, there's usually two reactions. One was slightly awkwardness, and the other was great excitement. It depended what... It's usually one or the other. It's a pretty polarizing thing to say. And so I said, "I'm going to be a pastor." And all of a sudden, everybody got quiet and curious, and they had everyone's attention. And they said, "What kind of church are you planning on pastoring?" I said, "I'd love to pastor an evangelical church. I'd like to be an evangelical pastor." And so, to understand what these people felt about that, I can explain with another story. A few weeks earlier, Tony Dungy had come on the screen while we were watching football. And Tony Dungy is an outspoken evangelical coach, and he was being interviewed because he was mentoring a football player named Michael Vick, who had really messed up his life. And what happens in the NFL is when somebody really messes up their life, when they're arrested, when they're in jail, you know who they send them to? Tony Dungy, to to get him back on track. And so they're interviewing Tony Dungy about what he was doing with Michael Vick. And Tony Dungy is an outspoken evangelical Christian. And when Tony Dungy came on the screen, these new friends of mine stood up and started to boo and hiss. And one of them screamed at Tony Dungy, "Stop spreading your hate!" at the screen. The guy who they send people to reform their lives. And I was frightened. But through their perspective, through the story that they've been told, the story that's shaped their lives, evangelicals are hate-filled, bigoted people who are trying to steal the rights of others. And now I had just told them that I'm an evangelical Christian and I'm going to school to be an evangelical pastor. And it got awkward. But thankfully, we're watching a football game, and so at that point somebody said, "You know, do you have any beer?" And they went to the fridge and they passed out the beers. Over the next 2 hours, the tension slowly eased as people got comfortable again. And by the time I left and excused myself to go drive home after the football game, things were almost back to normal. And as I was walking out, even though I was with people who were vehemently opposed to evangelism, one of them couldn't help themselves. They had to share their good news with me. And she came up and very sincerely, she put her arm around me as I was walking out the door, and she said, "Jeremy, when you become a pastor, tell your congregation that it really doesn't matter what they believe. Tell them that what matters is that we're good people. Tell them that it doesn't matter to God what we believe. What's important to God is just that we're good. Just tell them to be good to each other." And this is the gospel of good works. And it says, it doesn't really matter what we believe. The way for us to get to God is through just being a good person. The gospel of good works tells us what we believe doesn't matter. All we need is to be a good person. As if it were that easy. As if being good was just something that just comes naturally. Forget that all of the world's suffering is caused by people who are just like you and I. The way to God is just through being a good person. And so what is greater? Is the gospel of good works greater? Or is the gospel of Jesus Christ better? Is it bigger? Is it greater? Is it God's truth? Do we get to heaven through just simply being good? Or do we get to heaven through our faith in Jesus Christ, his death for our sins and his resurrection? We're going to be reading from the book of Galatians. If you have your Bibles open there, we're going to be starting in Galatians chapter 2. We're going to be looking at which gospel is greater. In the book of Galatians, the apostle Paul, he's writing these churches in an area of the world called Galatia. And Paul started these churches, and those that were with him started these churches. They went around preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, that the way to God is through faith in Jesus. And he started these churches, and now he's gone away. And what's happened here is that someone else is coming after the apostle Paul, and they've started preaching a different gospel. They said that the way to God is through following his law, keeping his commandments. The way to God is through doing the good things that we know God has commanded us to do. The way to God is through being good. And so Paul says in verse 6 of chapter 1, he says, "I'm astonished that you're so quickly turning from this gospel." And so we know what was happening was that the Galatians were taking their faith, which was in Jesus Christ, which was in Jesus Christ as the way to God. And instead, they're taking their faith and they're putting it in this other gospel, putting it their faith in their own ability to keep God's law, to keep the good things that we know God wants us all to do. They're putting their faith, taking it from Jesus Christ and putting it in their own ability to just simply be a good person. And we're going to begin reading in chapter 2, verse 16. And what does Paul say? Does he say, "You know, you guys, those people that came in after me were right. I was missing something. The way to God, it really is through keeping God's law, through doing the good things that we know God wants us to do. That's really the way to God. And we can do this. We can do this. We can put forward some effort. We can pull ourselves together, and we can get this thing right on our own." Does Paul say that? Does he say what we believe doesn't matter? But it's whether or not we're doing the good things that we know we should be doing. We'll begin reading in verse 16. Paul gets right to it. He says, "We know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. And so we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. And so Paul gets right to it. Being a good person will not save anyone. Being a good person does not make us right with God. It's not through following the law. It's not through keeping all of the good things that God has commanded us to do. But it's through our faith in Jesus Christ. Paul says we're not made right by what we're doing. We're made right by who we believe in. We put our faith in Jesus Christ. And so we find that the gospel, the scriptures, are opposed to the gospel of good works. One cannot be a Christian and follow Jesus and believe that Jesus is the way to God, and that we take that way by putting our faith in Jesus. One cannot follow that way and also believe that the way to God is through doing the good things that we know we should be doing. The Christian cannot put their faith in Jesus Christ and also feel that they are earning their way to God by simply being a good person. And why is that? Why does Paul say that no one can be justified by the law? Why is being a good person not enough? Why can't we do it on our own? We'll keep reading in Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. It says, "For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, 'Cursed be the everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them.'" So Paul says it's not enough to be simply good people. No matter how good we are, he says, we can't be good enough. Paul says if we're going to deserve perfection, then we'd have to abide by all the things written in the book of the law and do them. You see, God is perfect. God is perfection. And for us to deserve perfection, for us to earn that, we'd have to keep all of God's law, all of the good things we know to be doing. We'd have to be doing them all the time. And Paul says, to be under that is like being under a curse. He says, we can't do it. It's impossible. There's no one that's perfect. If we're trying to rely on the works of the law, if we're trying to rely on our ability to do all the good things we know to do, we're under a curse. And it's impossible. If you want to be perfect, Paul says, it's like you're under a curse. And I don't know about you. I don't know if you've tried to be perfect, but it hasn't gone very well for me. And so Paul says, we need something else. And what does he say? Let's go down to Romans 3:23. He says the reason why, he's a little bit more straightforward here. He says, we can't do it on our own. No matter how hard we try to be perfect, we can't make it. Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I don't know how being perfect has gone for you, but I know that it hasn't gone very well for me. Being good doesn't come as naturally as I'd like. I know that I make decisions which hurt myself, which hurt others, and which rebel against God. I know I've made decisions which are ungodly, decisions which God would not have made, choices which God would not have made. And it's hurt those around me, and it's hurt myself. And our mistakes are serious. They lead to broken relationships. They lead to societies with great injustice. They lead to the destruction of our environment, God's very creation. Our mistakes are serious. The ways that we've hurt ourselves and hurt others. And Paul says we've all fallen short. None of us are perfect. None of us are able to earn or deserve perfection. And if we're trying to work towards it, if we're trying to achieve it, if we're trying to rely on our ability to keep all the good things we know we should do, then we're under a curse. And so what do? Well, Paul says in Galatians 3:13, he says that Christ redeemed us from the curse. Christ has redeemed us from this curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it's written, "Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree." And so Paul says, those who are trying to rely on their own ability to be perfect, they're under a curse. We can't do it. We're trying to do the impossible. But what was impossible for us is possible for God. And we believe that God sent his son Jesus to do the impossible. While we're imperfect, Jesus is perfect. And Jesus took our imperfections from us on the cross. He took that curse from us on the cross. And so the way to God is through Jesus Christ and our faith in that. And we're no longer under the curse of having to try to earn it through our own ability to be perfect. We are made perfect, not by what we do, We're made perfect not by being perfect, but we're made perfect by what Jesus Christ has done for us. And Jesus is the way to God. And we take that way by putting our faith in Jesus Christ. And in verse 22, Paul says, the scripture imprisoned everything under sin. The scripture, God's law. What we know to be good. What we know, the good things that we know we should be doing. You know what they've done? Is they've imprisoned us all under sin. They've revealed that we can't keep them. We can't keep them all. They've shown us that no one is perfect. No matter how hard we try, we can't be perfect. But Paul says that thankfully, God knew that the way to him would never be through us being perfect. God knew that we'd never get to him that way. And so he gave us a promise. And it says that the scripture imprisoned everything under sin so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. God knew that the way to him would never be through us doing all of the good things that he's commanded us to do, because he knows we can't do that. And so he gave us a promise. And he gave the promise not to those who are good enough. He gave the promise not to those who are just simply good people. But he gave the promise to those who have faith in Jesus Christ. The promise is given to those who believe. And in verse 23, Jesus says, or Paul, Apostle Paul says, before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. And so then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. And so Paul says, before Jesus came, we were taught by the law that we aren't perfect. And likewise, we should be taught by our own experience of trying to be good. We should be taught that we aren't perfect. Being good doesn't come naturally enough. It doesn't come as naturally as we'd hope. And the rules teach us that we can't keep all of them. The rules teach us that we are rule breakers. And have you broken the rules? I know I have. The rules have taught me that I can't keep them. No matter how hard I try to be generous, I'm still a little too selfish. No matter how hard I try to be patient, no matter how hard I try to be loving, I'm still short-tempered. The rules teach us that we can't keep them. They teach us that we're rule breakers. Being good doesn't come as naturally as we'd like. But now that Jesus has come, we're no longer under that curse of trying to be perfect, of having to rely on ourselves to do what we know we should do. Faith has come and we're no longer under that curse. I no longer have to rely on myself to be good enough. There's a way to God, and it's through Jesus Christ. And it's not through me being able to keep all of the law, through me being able to do all of the good things I know I should be doing. And we find out that eternal life isn't a reward for being good. It's a reward for being God's own. It says Jesus came to bring us near to God. He came to bring us into his family. Through faith, we are adopted sons of the one who created us. We're reconciled and redeemed. And we're in God's family. Eternal life isn't a reward for being good. It's a reward for being God's own. For God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that whoever is good enough can have eternal life. That's not what it says. It says who was ever God's. Jesus came to save those who put their faith in him, those who are willing to be made adopted sons through his sacrifice. Sometimes we think that Jesus came to make bad people be good. And we think that the purpose of church is, let's all get together and we'll make each other be good. But Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. the gospel of Jesus Christ is that for God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that whoever believes will not perish, but have eternal life. Not whoever believes will suddenly become good enough. We'll suddenly just be able to be a good person. It'll just come naturally. And we'll be perfect forevermore. No, Jesus came to make dead people alive. He came so that people who are trying to be good, who are trying to follow him, can have forgiveness. And the purpose of the church is not to get together so we'll all be good. It's to get together to celebrate that we are God's. That we are God's own. That our lives have been changed. That God has given us faith. That he's made us adopted sons and daughters through Jesus Christ. The purpose of the church is to get together and celebrate that we have forgiveness. That we no longer carry the burden of having to be perfect. That we no longer have to carry the regret and shame of knowing that we've hurt ourselves and hurt others. The purpose of the church is to get together and celebrate that we are God's, that we have forgiveness through Jesus Christ. The gospel of good works tells us something else. It tells us, do, try, and behave. While the gospel of Jesus Christ tells us it's done, trust, and believe. And eternal life isn't a reward for being good. It's a reward for being God's. The gospel of good works tells us, for God so loved the rules that he said everybody's got to keep them. And the important thing is that the rules aren't broken. If we're simply good enough, then we'll get eternal life. But if we're rule breakers, if we've broken the rules, then we can't get in. And the good news of the gospel of good works for me isn't good enough. Because I'm under no false pretenses. I know I haven't been good enough. I know that no matter how hard I tried, I've broken the rules. No matter how hard I've tried to be patient, I've been short-tempered. No matter how hard I've tried to be generous, I've been selfish. No matter how hard I've tried to be loving at times, I've still been cruel. The gospel of good works isn't good news enough for me, because at the end of the day, what I need isn't to try harder to follow God's laws, to do the good things I know. At the end of the day, what I need is forgiveness. If I were to die today, what I would need is a God who forgives me. I need a God who loves me more than the rules. Because I've broken them. And if tomorrow is anything like today, I'll break them again. I need a God who forgives me. I need a God who changes, whose gospel changes my past and my present and my future. And that's not the gospel of good works. I need a God who loves me more than the rules. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is greater. Because it teaches that God loves us more than the rules. For God so loved the rules that he sent his only son. No. For God so loved me. And God so loved you. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is greater because it tells us that God loves us more than the rules. And it takes us from rules to relationship. We've broken the rules. All of us have made decisions we know have hurt others, hurt ourselves, and rebelled against God. We've broken the rules. And if it was the rules that God loved, he would have said, you've broken my precious rules. I'm going to step back. And you all can suffer the consequences of your evil decisions, of the ways that you've broken the rules. I'm going to step back. You've broken the rules. But God didn't do that. He stepped forward. And he said, because he loves us more than the rules, he sent his son so that we could be forgiven. The gospel is greater because it says God so loves us, so that anyone could be forgiven, whoever believes, even rule breakers. Even people who have broken the rules like me. Romans 5:8 tells that God loved me even when I was breaking the rules. It says God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus came to save rule breakers like me. And the gospel is greater because God loves us more than the rules. God tells us that we should be in heaven. We should be with him, not because we've done enough good things. Not because we've followed the rules which he loves so much. But God tells us we should be with him because he loves us. And he wants us. I need a gospel that changes my past, and it changes my present, and it changes my future. And under the gospel of Jesus Christ, my past sins are forgiven. My present struggles are covered. And my future failures are paid in full by the supernatural grace of God through sending his son, Jesus Christ. The gospel is greater because it tells me that God loves me more than the rules. And so what needs to be done? Well, the gospel of good works says that what needs to be done is we need to be good enough. We just simply need to be good, as if it were that easy. Good enough to deserve perfection. Well, the gospel of Jesus Christ says that what needs to be done is we need to be forgiven through Jesus. Because we can't be perfect. And we don't have to be. God doesn't ask us to be perfect. The promise is given to those who would believe. The gospel of good works says who or what does God love? And the gospel of good works says that God loves the rules. It says that only those who keep the rules get in. You've got to just simply be good. If you break enough rules, then you can't make it. Well, the gospel of Jesus Christ says that God loves you. And he's got forgiveness and mercy that extends to anything you've done, anything you could do. Put your faith in Jesus Christ, and God loves you so much that your sins are forgiven. And what is the end result of the gospel of good works? Well, the end result is we fall short. We can't be perfect. Well, the end result of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that we are God's adopted sons or daughters, and that we have intimacy with God, and that we have a way to God that we can trust. He loves us more than the rules. If you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ as your way to God, in your only way, in your only hope, I would encourage you to do that today. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you don't even want the rule breakers left out, God. I thank you so much for your forgiveness for me, God, who's broken the rules, that you don't even want me left out, Lord, even me who's broken the rules. God, I thank you for your mercy. I thank you that you sent your son Jesus so that I could believe, so that the ways that I've broken the rules would be forgiven and covered, so that I could have hope and peace and joy in Jesus Christ, so that I could have a way to heaven, a way to you, Lord, that I can trust. Heavenly Father, no one can believe without the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't believe in Jesus as Lord without your Spirit. God, I pray that you'd send your Spirit here into our hearts. Give us faith in your Son Jesus as the way. God, I thank you that you love us more than rule break, more than the rules. And Lord, I pray that you'd give us faith in Jesus. Lord, we pray for your Spirit and we open our hearts for your Holy Spirit today. Lord, as we worship, I pray that you'd bless us with your Spirit. God, I pray that you remove the guilt and shame that we've had of the choices we've made, which we regret, the ways we've hurt ourselves and others and rebelled against you, God. I pray that we have faith that we are covered under your love. We pray all of this in your name. And Lord, we also lift up the gifts that we are about to receive. God, we love you and we love this message. We love this gospel, which has given us hope and joy. And God, I pray that as we receive these gifts, Lord, that you take them and use them and multiply them for your kingdom. That your message could go forward. That we could serve people in love and teach them your gospel. We pray all of these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. And this time, the ushers are going to come forward and they're going to collect our offering. If you've had time to fill out the communication cards, please put those in the baskets as they pass. If not, you can always hand them to me on your way out. And if you're a first-time visitor here, we ask that you don't put anything in the basket other than those cards. And after the baskets pass, please stand and join us in worship.